learn something new for Chanukah, Mirtz Hashem. And there's a Tikkunei Zohar, which is quoted here in the Yesod V'Shorash Avoda. He says, Tamni Yomei de Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, Liarba V'Esrin Yomon, which follow the first 24 days of the month of Kislev, De'inun, which parallel and correspond to Baruch Shein, called Malchus Halel and Vod, Ratzalom Shebehem, Chof Dalid Osio. So we're going to count the letters here. Baruch is 4. Then we add another 2. Shem gives us 6. And Kvod is another 4, which takes us up to 10. Malchuso is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That takes us up to 16. Li'olam is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That takes us to 21. Va'ed takes us to 24. And then Shariei Chaf Hei, then we have the Shechina, which comes on the 25th month, Al Yisrael, B'Chaf Hei B'Kislev. V'alein Inun Chaf Hei Asvin D'Yichuda. And this parallels the 25 letters of Yichud Hashem, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Veda Iu Chanukah. And this is the Chaf Hei at the end of Chanukah. Chanu Chaf Hei. So clearly, the Yesod V'Shorash Avoda, based on the Tikkunei Zohar, is making a connection between Chanukah and Kriyat Shema, between Yichud Hashem of Shema Yisrael and the Baruch Shein Kvod Malchuso, the Shechina that follows the number 24 and rounds it out at 25, the 25th day of Kislev. And that's the beginning of the days of Chanukah. The Chaf Hei at the end of the word Chanukah represents this number 25. Now we want to see Rav Saba in the Tzror Hamor. He says, Vaniyat Tzair Avram Saba, who by the way lived a very difficult life during the period of the various exiles, the Gerushim, Gerush Sfarad, and he writes, Rotzel Agalsch, I want to reveal to you Bekan, Mashin is Galilee, Beli Sefer, Beli Malame. This is an original idea he wants to present. Me'olam Ro'a Isi, V'lo Shamati, Pirush Tavniso, Loma Nikre, Moed Achashmo Noim, Chanukah. What's the meaning, the significance of the name Chanukah? Ki kol ha-mo'adim yesh lehem kishur v'tam ha-shem ha-mo'ed. The name of the mo'ed, of any holiday, reflects the reason or the underlying background of the mo'ed, what we would call the yesod ha-mo'ed. Pesach is because Hashem passed over the houses of Bnei Yisrael time Makas Pechoros, Sukkos, because Hoshavti is Bnei Yisrael b'Sukkos. And Purim, Al Shem Apur. What's Chanukah? Al Shem Mi. Lo Omru Botam Ela Echad. What's known out there is one reason. The Brisa says, Bechamisha V'Yesrim V'Kislev Yomei De Chanukah. And Chanukah means that on Chaf Hei, the 25th of Kislev, Chanu, they rested from the war, from the battle. But Adain Yesh Lishol Mao Shem Chanukah. He's still not totally satisfied with the name Chanukah. In presenting his approach, he speaks about the situation, the dire situation of religious persecution, where the enemies prohibit and join us from studying Torah, which we find at the time of the Romans, when we have in Rabbi Akiva, and other times. And he says that in these situations, all they're left with, because they can't learn Torah out loud, is the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And they can think in their hearts as if, and it's considered as if they're learning Torah, because Hirur Kedibur Dami, in other words, Higayim B'Torah, thinking in Torah thoughts, is also considered studying of Torah. So they can't go publicly and actively to study Torah. but they could study Torah amongst themselves in hiding, clandestine. And Rabbi Shimon says in Masechta Avos, Asor Shiyoshvim V'yesh B'neim Divrei Torah, for 10 people to study Torah publicly, that brings the Shechina. But in Adarim Gzera, when the Goyim persecute them and they outlaw the decree against anyone who studies Torah, then certainly they can't go public and study Torah 10 people together, but they could be Osek B'Seser. They could learn Torah clandestinely, Beinom L'Chaver, with a small Chavrusa. But he says, Hatana Ha'acher Shadibur B'Zasar Yoshev Yoskav Zavfesya Ufish Aloh Ha'yu B'Dorah Shal Gzera. If you find in the language of the Tanoim that 10 people studying Torah together publicly, that's a generation where they could get away with it. There were no decrees against the Jews. But in a dar of Gzera, then all they could have is Divrei Torah B'Seser. And then the Mishnah Novel says, Minayin afilu echad, even if someone learns Torah by himself. Imagine you're in a situation where the Gzera is so strict and the surveillance against the Jewish people is so powerful that there's no possibility of learning even 2 people together. But yet, the Brisa, the Mishnah says that afilu echad, kol makom she'azkir eshmi, avoy lech, even one person learning Torah himself is a kiyum of Talmud Torah, brings the Shechina. And if there are no 2 people learning together, nobody's going to say that he's learning Torah. And therefore, one person who's beino levein atzmo, he's there himself privately, he can study Torah alone. And no one could accuse him of studying Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a parsha of Yichud Hashem b'Ktzor in a very short form, a concentrated, encapsulated form. As we say in the Gemara Psachim, Li Olam Yeshana Adam Li Talmido B'derech Ktzor, a person should teach in a very abridged way, a short way. And if they can't recite the entire parsha of Kriyat Shema, then at least they can recite Shema Yisrael and express and declare Yichud Hashem. God is one. Now Shema Yisrael, as we said earlier, has 25 letters to it. And that 25 corresponds to the Pasuk in Bereishis. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Ko Yezaracha, Ko is Chaf Hei. And that's the Yisod of Yichud. Now, it was promised to Avram Avinu, but it became a reality at the time of Yaakov. Yaakov Zer Avram, he becomes the Sod HaYichud. He's going to hear from the Shvatim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu also achieves this magic number 25. The Pasuk says, by Moshe Vayifen Ko V'cho, again the Chaf Hei. And that means Yichud Shmoshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a person who's miyachid his name by reading this one pasuk of Shema Yisrael as if he read the entire Torah Kikorei, Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore the Chashmonaim, because they were under the weight of such terrible tzaros, such decrees, they couldn't study publicly. So what they did was they miyachid Es Hashem. And that they did with the pasuk Shema Yisrael that has 25 letters. That was the pronouncement and the formulation of the oneness of God. And with that Yichud, with that dedication to the unity of God, to the oneness of God, they were able to go out and fight the battle against the enemies and victorious. And that's why, as an additional reason, the name of this holiday is Chanukah. Because we shouldn't add anything else to the name Chanukah, he says, B'li Tosefes Beis. And the remez here is on Yichud of the Pasuk Shema Yisrael that has 25 letters. That's Chanukah. In other words, like it says in the Pasuk Chanula Diglechem, you know, when you have a Degel, then there's a Chania around the Degel. There's an encampment with a big flag that represents that group, that nation. And in the middle of the entire encampment is this Degel, and the entire nation will dwell, will set up tent around that Degel. So we have Chaf Hei, which is a reference to Yichud Hashem, the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael. And we have Chanu, which means that the people of Israel have set up their tent around, surrounding this Chaf Hei, this Yichud Hashem, the center, the hub of Jewish life and Jewish belief and Jewish dedication is the Chaf Hei of Shema Yisrael. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, we say it every day, B'Shem Elokeinu Nidgol. Nidgol means that we have this Degel, our flag is the name of God, which is the shame of Hashem that comes to 26 letters, which correspond to the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, with the shame itself that we're coming to be Miyached, and if you add the 25 to the 1, you get 26. That's Chanukah. And the remez is that with the koach, with the power of Shem Echad, of Shem Hashem, of Yichud Hashem, they will win the battle and victorious against their enemies. Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach. We read it yesterday in the Haftorah of Zechariah for Shabbos Chanukah. It's not that we win our battles with the sword, but rather b'shem Hashem Elokeinu, in the name of God. That's the Yichud Hashem. And basically, that concept of Yichud Hashem is something that encompasses the holiest name of Hashem, which is 72 letters. And when the Shevet Levi goes out to battle on behalf of Hashem, Mi Kamocha Ba'elim Hashem. That's the clarion called Mi Kamocha Ba'elim Hashem. If you look at the Rosh Tevos, of those four words, it's Maccabi. These are the Maccabim. And the total addition of this, numeric value of these four words of Michamoch Be'el Hashem is Ayin Beis, is 72, which is again the shame of Hashem, the holiest name of God. L'fishu Davar Seser. And since it's something that we have to keep quiet because we're not allowed under the Gzeira to pronounce the oneness of God and express in a revealed way that Pasuk of Torah, because that would be a violation of the decree against us, therefore it's all B'Seser and Onim Bo Baruch Shem Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. And we have to add Baruch Shem Hashem Mimkomo whenever we have this kind of Dover Shebeseser, that's Baruch Hashem, Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo, which is also the Rashi Tevos of Maccabi. If you start with Mimkomo, and you have the Mem, and then you have the Chof of Kavod, and the Beis of Baruch, together with the Yud of Shem Hashem, is Maccabi. And therefore, this name is appropriate. The Maccabim, the Chashmonoim, are called Maccabim because of the Sod of B'Koach Hashem. That's the way, and that's how they were successful and victorious in their battle. And that means the Koach of the Shema Mefarsh of Ayin Beis, that's Maccabi. The Koach of Yichud Hashem, the Chof Heosos, of Kriyat Shema, which is Chanukah. This is all a remez that the Chashmonoim Chanu Besod HaYichud Shel Chof Heosos. They were completely dedicated to Yichud Hashem, to the 25 letters, and that's what we have to do in any Chas Sholem Golus, in any Tzora, to be Miyached Shem Hashem, and that's going to save us from the Tzoros. And therefore the Shem of the Moed of this holiday is Chanukah, because that's meant to teach us the koach of these 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Yichud Hashem, and the Chanu L'Degleihem. That is the Degel that represents the essence of the Jewish people and the victory in its Melchomis against the enemies. Now, as we know, and we've mentioned this on many occasions, the Medrash, in the name of Reish Lakish, identifies Choshech in the Pasuk, V'aretz Haysa Choshech, Haysa Tov V'Vo, V'Choshech Al Pnei Tom, Choshech Zegolus Yavon. identifying darkness with Yavan, Shechshicha Einayim Shel Yisrael B'Gzeroseihem. Their decrees brought darkness upon the eyes of Israel. Shoyso Merslem Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Ashar Sheim Lachem Chelek Be'Elokei Yisrael. And in the past we've discussed the remez here of Keren Ashar. Ashar is Yosef. Yosef is the power against the Yevanim. But now we want to take a look at the Ben Ish Chai, who has a major comment here on the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tavo. It says in Parshas Ki Tavo, "For haya im shamar tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmar v'lasos is kol mitzvosav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom u'nisoncha Hashem elokecha elyon al kol goye haaretz." Says the Ben Ish Chai, a hand is made up of A plus B. A is the four fingers and B is the thumb. The four fingers represent the four malchios, the four kingships that are going to subjugate the Jewish people in the various four exiles that make up Jewish history. And those four malchios really encompass all the nations of the world. However, the thumb itself is a representative, an allusion to Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's separated from the other etzbos, from the other fingers, because Klal Yisrael, as Bilam says it, is Hein Am Levodad Yishkon. We are separated from the rest of the nations of the world. There's 70 nations and there's us. Now, you'll find that in each one of the four fingers there are three ksharim. Okay, if you take a look at your finger, you'll see three lines which represent the three ksharim. You can actually bend your finger in three different places. However, in the case of the agudal, which is the thumb, you'll only see one kesher in the middle plus the kesher to the hand. That's two ksharim. And why is that so? Says the Ben Ish Chai, the two ksharim that represent here Klal Yisrael are the Yisrael receiving the benevolence of God, the Shefa of God, without any intermediary, without any emtsai, as he calls it, directly from Hashem. The Shefa comes from Hashem directly to the people of Israel. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Elokei Yisrael. He's the God of Israel. In contrast, with regard to the Umas HaOlam, they cannot receive any direct benevolence from God, any Shefa Eloki, Ela al Yidei Amtsai, unless it comes through a facilitator, through an agent, through an intermediary. Vehem HaSorim Shalahem Shalamala. Upstairs in heaven, each nation has its own sar, its own, so to speak, celestial officer that represents it. And through that intermediary of the sar, the Shefa Eloki comes down to this world for each nation. L'kach abid idom nikra kodesh baruch Elokei Elokim. You don't find Elokei a particular nation, a particular oretz. The fingers, the four fingers, each of which has three ksharim, is an illusion that they need an emtsai. Bishlosha yesh emtsai. Meaning, whenever you have the number three, it indicates that there's one in the middle between the one and the three. That is the connector. That is the means or the linkage from one to three. But the thumb, as we said, is a symbol for Klal Yisrael. And there's not going to be any intermediary here. It's just Hashem and Klal Yisrael in a direct relationship. And now getting back to the pasuk, it says, Shmar mitzvosai v'chaye v'sorasi kishon einecha kishram al etzbo'osecha kisvam al luach libecha.
A pasuk in the seventh perek of Mishle, and Tzarch Lomar, when it says here kishram al etzbo'osecha, It's both man de kar shmaya. Why are it's both? Why are the fingers mentioned here? We understand. He says kasvei maluach libecha. That's justified because we know that to serve Hashem and to observe His mitzvahs, we need the lev. Hakol toli b'shmiras halev. But what's the significance here of the etzba'ot, of the fingers? And the answer is kashram aluach. Kashram. Let's read the pasuk again. Sorry, kashram al etzbo secha. Hainu, what that means is ki min etzbo shalcha bin tavin efresh v'evdel sheyesh bein cho v'ein umasol. By looking at your fingers, you'll be able to focus and remember clearly the difference between you, the Jewish nation, and the other nations of the world. Shatoy yeshcha hisdabkus v'Hashem yisparach. You have a direct linkage, a clinging, a connection to Hashem. Yoser. Ki ein beinechem etz emtzai. You don't have that middle. Mashenkein umas ha'olam. They have that middle. The three ksharim, they have that middle. Kesh lachein roi shetidavek b'toras Hashem. Dedicate yourself to the Torah of Hashem. And the pasuk says, v'atem et veikim Hashem alkechem. Is then ein atem tzrichem emtzai. And chayim kulchem ayom. You'll have life because you're connected directly to the source of life. And therefore, Esek HaTorah gives life for those who fulfill the Torah. Mashenkin Akum, there, with regard to the Goyim, it says, Akum Shosak B'Torah Chayev Misa, because basically, when he studies the Torah, he's usurping that unique relationship of a Jew to Hashem. And the pasuk says, "Vinas," and this is the pasuk that we read before in Parshas Kisova. Says, "Unesoncha Hashem Elkecha Elyon Al Kol Goyei Haaretz." What makes you Elyon? What makes you on a higher level? And that is, if you take the word Elyon and you split it into half, you'll have Al Yavan. Because as we said before, the etzbos represent the four kingships that would subjugate the Jewish people. The four malchios. And one of them, of course, is Yavan. And it's mentioned in this pasuk in Kisavo, Elyon, alone, it's singled out amongst the four malchios. V'gam al kol goyei haaretz. And the pasuk then mentions the Goy Aretz. That's a reference to the other three Malchios, the other remaining three kingships. Upirate es Yavam if they answer, why is Yavam singled out? Ki hu ha-katan. Amongst the powerful nations that will subjugate the Jews in the exile, relatively speaking, Yavam is the smallest, v'chalash, it's the weakest of these four Malchios, of these kingships. Shalo hoya yachal lishlot befa'al. You find that Yavan really didn't rule or reign for a long time. As in contrast to the other three kingships, these were major powers, major civilizations. He self-dover gavru all of Yisrael. And I think he's attributing the downfall of Yavan to the victory of Yisrael in the battle of the Chashmonaim, v'shchiso so. They destroyed Yavan b'mei Chashmonaim. L'chein nakte b'fnei atzme. B'fnei atzme is mentioned separately. V'es hakvedim naktinu b'achrona. So now we have a pasuk in V'eschana v'atem et v'ekev Hashem alkechem chayim kulchem ayom. We have the pasuk in Ha'azinu that says b'anchel elyon goyim. And again, we saw before the pasuk in Kisov and the son Hashem Elkech Elyon. Here we have Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, Bafrido Bnei Adam, Yatsev Gulos Amim Limspar, Bnei Yisrael Kichelik Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachloso. And there's a long presentation here on this pasuk in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. We'll come back to this in Mirz Hashem a little bit later. And we have the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar in Perek Chaf Dal Minayin Shehipil Gorolos Beneim Shemer Banchel Elyon Goyim Yatzev Gulos Amim Mispar Bnei Yisrael. Hashem takes a Gorol, so to speak, to choose which of the Goyim is going to be His chosen one, Elyon Hanchel Elyon Goyim. V'Nafal Gorolo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Avram V'Al Zaro, and this Gorol fell on Avram and his descendants. Shenema ki chelek Hashem amo. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chevel v'gorol zeh shenofalai rotzo nafshi. I'm very happy, I'm very satisfied. That's the divine declaration with the outcome of this gorol, this lottery. Shenema chavolim nafluli bani'imim. Ne'ima means I find it very sweet, very comfortable, very happy with it. V'yarda Kosh Baruch Hu v'shivim alochem asovvim kisei kvodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with 70 angels that surround His holy throne. U'bilbel es l'shonom l'shivim goyim l'shivim l'shon. This is back in the time of the Afloga, and Hashem separates them into 70 nations, 70 different languages. Kol echav yechad goy uksavu l'shonu. Each nation has its own writing, its own script, its own language. Umina malach al kol uma v'uma. Every uma gets its malach, its tsar, its intermediary. Up in Shamayim v'Yisrael nafal b'chelko v'chevlo. But as we said before, the lottery fell on Klal Yisrael to have this close, direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any need for any intermediary. V'al zeh nemar ki chelek Hashem ama. We are the chelek of Hashem. And the Ramban is very famous in Achrimos for comparing and contrasting Klal Yisrael to the other nations. Avol soda dover shekosu behenchel elyon goyim bafrido bnei odom yatzev gulos amin v'gomer ki chelek Hashem amo ki shem Hashem Hashem anichva et bora hakol Hatachtonim, Halyonim, V'nosan, Alkol, Am, Va'an, V'atzosom, L'goyehem, Kochov, U'mazel, Yodua. Every single nation on the face of the earth, with the exception of one, has its own Kochov, its own star, its own mazel. Kasher Nodovitz Tagninus, as is well known in astrology. V'zeu Shenem Asher Chelek Hashem Elkim, Oscho l'chol ha'amim, ki chilek l'kulam azolos b'shamayim u'gvoim aleim alachi elyon z'nosnom l'hachyos l'chayosam sorim aleihem ki'inyin shekos v'sar malchus poras omeid l'negdi u'ksiv v'hine sar yovan ba. V'nikroi malachim kirichsiv ani notarti shom eitzel malchei poras. Hine, Hashem anichvan hu alkei holokim adonai adonim. L'chol ha'olam aval eretz Yisrael emtzaut ha'yishuv. Hi nachlas Hashem yuchedes l'shmo. Lo nosan olem min ha'malachim kotzin shoter u'moshel. And no power, no force, no energy, no angel, and no armed forces were ever designated by Hashem to supervise over Klal Yisrael. Banchilo osa li'amo hamyuchad shmo hamyachid shmo v'zera o'avav. Hashem has a direct connection and oversees, supervises the people of Israel. V'zehu sh'omar v'yisem li'skulu v'kol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz uksiv v'yisem li la'am v'anochi e'yeh lachem l'elokim. In other words, the Ramban says that we, the people of Israel, have a direct linkage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on and on. If you take a look in the Sefer Derech Hashem, he writes that Inyan Chanukah Purim Ulahayir Ha'or Hameir Bayom Mehem. We want to spread the light that's inherent in these days. Kefi HaTikunim Sheniskenu Bam. What are the abilities and the attributes that are inherent in each of these two, respectively, Chanukah and Purim? Chanukah tigbores hakonel al shon b'nei yavon, the gathering of the powerful forces of the Kohanim against the Rishonim, the evil ones, Bnei Avon, Shayu Miskavnim, Lahasir Yisrael, Me'avodas Hashem. Their goal was to make sure to cut off and alienate the Jewish people from their service of Hashem. And Ischazku HaKohanim, Ve'al Yodam Shavu L'Torah, Vila Avoda. And the Kohanim became very strong, Nischazku, and through them the Torah was returned, the Avoda was returned. Ubefrat Inyan HaMenorah, Lefi Tikunea Shayu HaKiturim, HaKitrugim, Neged Inyana. And the main focal point of the enemies of the Jews were to undermine our relation with Torah. And the menorah also represents the special relationship of the Jewish people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these became objects, victims of the Yevanim trying to undermine them and prosecute against the people of Israel. But Vechziram HaKohanim al Buryam, but the Kohanim returned, and the situation became as it was meant to be. Chelek Hashem Amo, we are the chosen nation of HaKadosh Baruch. And now we begin to appreciate why the menorah plays such a major role, as we saw in the Derech Hashem, because the Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Beis on Beis, establishes that how did the Jewish people know at any given point in time that they are Holchim Lioro, they are going in the right path, in the lit up way. And it says, Holchu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, for 40 years the Jews trudged through the wilderness, and Lo Holchu El Lioro Shel Edus, and they were able to go through the wilderness because of the light. The light of Shekhinah, and Edusi Leboy Olam Shashkina Shor Bisrael. Where and how is there Edusi? The pasuk says Chutz Paroches Ha Edus Yaroch, and the answer is Amar Rav Zu Ner Ma Ravi Shenosim Ba Shemen Kimidas Chavruseha Umimenayim Madlik Uba Hayamasai. So there was an unbelievable miracle with regard to the Ner Ma'aravi, and this miracle was testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoreh B'Yisrael, the Shekhinah is Shoreh B'Yisrael. And if you take a look in Rabbeinu B'Chaim Parshas Lech Lecha, on this idea of V'yisi Lachem Lelokim, he says HaShekhinah Tishrei B'Yisrael, and it means the Shekhinah is dedicated exclusively to Israel. Lehem levadam velo liumos ha'olam. And regarding Chanukah, we saw that the Ramban builds himself higher, you know, a whole hierarchy with the emphasis on the pasuk ki chelek Hashem amo, and v'yisi lachem elokim. Is Rabbeinu B'chai mentions that the source for this concept to explain that Shekhinah Shor B'Yisrael in the pasuk Vayisem Lachem Lelokim, that pasuk Vayisem Lachem Lelokim means the exclusion of the other nations. This is the yisod, the fundamental point that underlies Bechiras Yisrael, the choice of Israel to be the chelik of HaKadosh Baruch, that Shekhinah should be Shorah B'Tocham, and they will be subject to a close relationship to divine supervision. If you look at the Maharal for Chanukah, their mitzvah writes that his bayar bazeh divrei chachmei yovan. What does it mean? The Medrash says that the chachmei yovan said to Bnei Yisrael, kisvu lachem al keren ashor ein lachem chelik belokei Yisrael. What is the deeper meaning of this? Says the Ner mitzvah, the Maharal mi Prague, ki amru mitzad shi Yisrael osu es ha'egel miyad Hotzi Osam Mitzrayim, Miyacha Hotzi Osam Mitzrayim, Im Kain More She'en Lehem Chasvishom Chelik Ve'Elokei Yisrael. In other words, the Yevanim understood that since Klal Yisrael worshipped the eagle, they too were guilty of idol worship, therefore they forfeited their special relationship of being Chelik Hashem. Ki Yaakov Chevel Nachloso. And if you take a look at Rashi on the Bereishis Rabbah, Kisvel Keren Hashol Fisha, Kivon Shasisem Tavnis Shor, so the Shor here is a symbol alluding to the golden calf. May Osa Shah Gilsam Glisem Bidaitchem Shaylachem Chelik Bo. At that point in time, you revealed your intention that we, the people of Israel, are not connected to God. We don't have that special relationship of Chelik Amo. And when the Yevonim say Kisru Al Keren Ashar, Ein Lachem Chelik Ve'elka Yisrael Klomer, in other words, even though you have not set up this unique kind of service to Hashem, but rather you worshipped an idol, you worshipped the Egel, and therefore the Yevonim are basically asking or compelling the Jews to admit, to confess that Ein Lahem Chelik Ve'elka Yisrael. Now, if we look at Parshas Ki Tisa, in terms of the Chet HaEgel, we find that in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel in Parsha, in Perek Lamed Gimel, it says, "V'shalachti lefanecha malach, v'gerashti es haknani amori achiti aprizi hachivi v'ayvusi el eretz, zavas chalav dvash kilo ele bekirbucha kiam k'sheorof ato apen acholcha badorech, v'yishma ha'om es hadov hazeh, it means that now Hashem, after the Chet HaEgel, has determined that he would not be in direct supervision, taking them up to the land, but rather he'll send a malach. And the response of the Jewish people was, and this is an understatement, very sad. They were in a state of grief and mourning by Yisabolu. And if you look in the Midrash Rabbah, it says, Anochi Sholech Malach, I'm sending a Malach. And that's what it means, Ani Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. Kisha Amdu Yisrael B'Sina V'Kibbulus HaTorah Makarish Baruch Hu L'Malach HaMoves Al Kol Ovdei Kochovim Yeshcha Rishus V'Al Uma Zu Ein Lecha Rishus B'Hem Shehem Chelki. You, the Malach HaMoves, have no control with regard to the Jewish people. They are my Chelek. I have eternal existence, and so too do my people. Shenemar banchel elyon goyim, and that makes Klal Yisrael elyon amongst or above the goyim. Ksiv ki chelak Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachloso. Lo ratzisem el chibaltem maaseichem amartem leegel ele elehi Yisrael. You didn't want that special relationship of chelak Hashem amo. Instead, you declared these are your gods, the gods of Israel. Lekach therefore achen ka'adam temusun. You will be given over to the malach amovus. You'll die like the others. Malv de kachov mishtamshin besorim. There is an intermediary, an agent that goes in between. And this became a dover rab be'ena Yisrael she'ena shchinas shora u'malechas imo. Rashi says, and the Ramban Mishpatim writes, "Avol kishachotu be'egel rotza," meaning Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to lesalik shchinas mitochem she'a malach mishluchav holich lifneim, that there would be an angel of God that would go in front of them. As a result, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to nullify this decree, and the Shekhinah returned to Israel. And the Rashba writes, "Ulefisha hamitpalsim mishabchin mishtabshin vegozrin shuyus baruch eno mashgiach bepratim atachtonim." He says those philosophers who make this major mistake, and they determine Kiilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not directly involved. He's not Mashgiach. No divine providence in the details that go on in this world. And that's like the sentence in Eov, Amim Seiselov Lo Yireh V'chuk Shamayim Yishaloch Al Kein Omer Elokeinu Ki Hu Mashgiach Banu. God says, Elokeinu, I am your mashgiach. I am involved in every detail. There is divine providence. Umitztarif lazeshu humanigenu. God is our leader, our guide. V'lo kocha, v'lo masa, v'lo sar. Not like the other nations. Without a malach, without a kocha, without a sar. V'shehu evdilanu lishmo. He set us aside for his name. L'kachonu l'chelko, to take us as his unique chelik, with that close relationship. Ki omro b'anchel elyon goyim ki chelik Hashem amo. And the Gemara says in Ksuvis, with regard to the zeres, zu kmitza. Zeres is the pinky, and it's used for kmitza in the menachos. And oma zu etzba, ze godel. Godel, as we said before, is the thumb. And Rabbeinu Bachai, in Parshas Tzav, writes, the Chachmei HaTeva Kosev B'Sifreihem, according to the scientists, Ki kishem shekol ever ve'evim every aguf nivra l'to'elos b'yuchad b'guf. Every member of the body has its singular purpose and function. Yesh beruban shebechol echad ve'echad kol shtayim or sholosh to'alios. In general, in most cases, every member of the body, every limb, has more than one purpose, multi-purpose, two, three purposes. The ainbo double of atola. There's nothing in the human body that is unnecessary. Kach, chamesh etzbo. So too, we have the five fingers. Shebiyad kol echad v'echad mehem nivra l'to'eles miyuchad. Every single finger on the hand has its own purpose, its own function. Vehu ki kol echad me'etzbo su mishareis l'chush echad. And the five fingers correspond to the five senses in man, which are the ikar of Adam. That's how man relates to the universe. Behem mizgalim kochos hanefesh. And that's how his inner soul or abilities and feelings and thoughts and emotions come out through these five senses. Harishon mishareis l'kinuach hapeh. V'hu shebo chush hatam. He says one finger will relate to the mouth, will wipe off the mouth, and that's keneged the chush of tam, of taste. Hasheni tochan chiraim shebo chush areach. Another finger used to close the nostrils, which corresponds to the sense of smell. Hashlishi lechush hamishush, which one finger has a unique function in terms of feeling. And that's the longest finger that you have, and that's the chush of mishush, the sense of touch. Harvi lekanech ha'ayin. Then we need a finger that functions to clear out the eye, which is connected to the sense of sight. V'chamishi lekanech ha'ozen, to put into the ear and clear out the ear. Hakadosh Baruch Hu bara beguf adam chamisha chumshin. God created man with these five senses, and we spoke about taste, and we spoke about hearing and sight, and mihem chamisha chush musalem chamisha misharsim shem etzbos. These are the five fingers that service the five senses of man. V'zo shleimus hateva. This is the perfect nature of God's creation, of the natural order of the universe. In this case, the nature of man. Ki ein hateva osa davar levatola. And in nature, there's nothing wasted. Everything has a function and a unique role to play. V'yanu roim ki kol echav etzman expos holich lechush shalotamid below kavana. And every one of the fingers could almost, you know, on its own volition, the finger moves to function in terms of that particular sense of the five senses without kavana. Man doesn't have to even program it. You know, the human brain doesn't have to send out messages. The fingers work on their own. This is the great wisdom, the divine wisdom with which God created the universe and created the human body in particular. And now we want to take a look at Rav Shor in the Lekach Valibu for Parshas Vayigash. And he says the following. He says, Rabbeinu Bechai in Parashas Tzav speaks about the scientists, the Chachmei HaTeva, who write that each finger is dedicated to a certain sense of the five senses. And he summarizes Rabbeinu Bechai, and then he writes, after quoting Rabbeinu Bechai, he writes, Lachain, Yad Godol Etzpa Omak Mitza Zeres. If you count up the numerical value of the five fingers, each one with its own respective name, then the mispar, the total number of gematria, will be Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And what is the correspondence here between the five fingers and declaring God's oneness? It's liyached kol hachushim lavinu shebashamayim, that we are meant to dedicate all of our senses to the service of Hashem. So all five fingers, which represent Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's Godel, Etzva, Omak, Mitzvah, Vezeres, and they are dedicated to Shema Yisrael, to our service of Hashem, Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, and they represent the five senses. So all that is essential to man is now dedicated to the service of Hashem. If you take a look at the Chidah, he points out, Kol Davar b'makom shu nizkar b'Torah b'Rishona shamu kol koach oso davar. You should always look at the first place in the Torah where something is mentioned. That's where you discover its power. Kibalti. I think I have this as part of a tradition that was handed down to me. So if you take a look at, for example, the word Godel, right, which we said the Gudol is the thumb, it represents Klali, so it says in Lech Lecha, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lechem Vayayin, Vehu Kohen Liel Elyon. And this has a remez to the word Godel, because if you calculate it with the Kolel, then it's the same gematria as Memdalit. So this pasuk about Malki Tzedek and Lech Lecha Kohen Le'el Elyon, we said that Elyon is a reference to Klal Yisrael, and the Kohen, of course, is dedicated to serving Hashem. Therefore, we are Mamleches Kohenim. And as I said before, the word Godel, which if you take the Gimel and the Vav, what you end up with is 9, add the Shem Kol Yaten, and add the 4 is 14, with the Lamed is 44. That's the magic number of the Neros Chanuk if you include the Shamish, and that's because the Neros Chanuk represent Klal Yisrael, who miyached Shem Hashem, that dedicated all their senses towards Yichud Hashem, and even at the time of the Gzera, again studying the Torah, they declare Shema Yisrael. It might be clandestine, below the surface, it's concealed, but that's what Klal Yisrael represents. So he writes on that this Chanukah, which should be really reinforcing our dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Yichud Hashem, the Chanu Chafei, the Chafei of the Osios of Shema Yisrael, which are the middle of the Degel, that's the Degel around which we Chanu, we surround ourselves, and we encamp, because that flag is representative of what Klal Yisrael is all about. This past Shabbos we read, of course, Parshas Miketz, and one of the most difficult challenges in understanding the sequence of events with regard to Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, the sale and so forth, is that Yosef never seems to have sent any sort of message to his father that he's alive and well, that he's in Mitzrayim. And there are a number of different answers to this question. I'm just going to quickly suggest a few that I found. The Das Kena Mibali HaTosus is of the opinion that after the sale of Yosef, the brothers convened a Bezdin, and he tilu cherem beinayim, v'shotvu gamas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this cherem excommunication was for anyone who would reveal that they had sold Yosef. And Yosef was also included in this shvua not to reveal. and the Rishonim already are not happy with this opinion of Das Kenim, because even if there was such a Shvuah, who says that this Shvuah is binding and valid, because we have a principle called Einish Boyen Ala Mitzvah, that you can't take a Shvuah which is valid that contradicts the Mitzvah. And here the Mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, unless you go with the second answer of the Das Kenim, he says that if Yosef had revealed to his father, he was afraid that the brothers would hear about this, they would get so frightened that they would run in all directions, to the north, to the south. They would be afraid that Yosef would have them killed, and therefore ultimately Yaakov Avinu would be mitztayer aleihem, and therefore Yosef felt that by revealing, it would ultimately cause a tremendous tsar to his father. However, there is an interesting interpretation here in Reb Chaim Kanevsky, where, again, he rejects the idea of the Das Kenim at this point by asking the question of Kibud Av V'Em, how could Yosef have complied with this oath? This oath is not valid insofar as it contradicts Kibud Av V'Em. And we have a principle of Ein Nishboim Levatel Samitzvah. However, what we do have is the Ramban's approach, which is a very long-winded approach, and we've discussed this in the past for Parshas Miketz, and that is that Yosef had dreams, and he was waiting for the fulfillment of the dreams. Not only that, he understood that these dreams as Nevuah, he was obligated to bring about the fulfillment of these dreams. That was a divine imperative imposed upon Yosef. And he was waiting for the fulfillment of these dreams, the first of which was fulfilled early in the game when the brothers bowed down to him. But Yosef knew that Binyamin was still not there, so he didn't hit the number 11. And even after Binyamin did come and he bowed down, we're still missing Yaakov Avinu, and that's the dream of that V'ahireach Mishtach V'mli. Now I have here a sefer called Shalom David from Rabbi David Cohen, who lived many years ago, over 100 years ago in Djerba, that's in Tunisia, and he writes that Im Yishalach Elav Yosef Dadayin Chayav Mitzrayim Yizei Yigrom Liyagla Sheyere LeMitzrayim. Yosef felt that if he, Yosef, would take the initiative to notify his father that he's in Mitzrayim and he's the Moshe of Mitzrayim, that would be the impetus to cause Avraham Avinu to leave the land of Israel and come to Mitzrayim. And he has a whole long Kabbalistic discussion here about how in Mitzrayim, if Yaakov would come, he would be caught in the web of the Sitra Achra, the influence of the evil side. And already back at the time of the Bris Bain of Asorim, there was some indication that Avraham Avinu's descendants would go into Golus, they would leave the land of Canaan, but it wasn't specified where they would go to. It said, just the words of the Pasuk only indicate to some land, Ba'aretz. It doesn't say, Kiger Yezarcha Ba'aretz, it says, which Aretz? And, you know, a lot of different places on the face of the earth were asking. They put in their, they submitted their request to have Yaakov come down to their land. But as long as Yaakov was in Eretz Canaan, the Sitra Achra gave him strength, and he could always say, "You go prove that I'm supposed to be in your land." And there was never proof. But if Yaakov would come down to Mitzrayim, he would be out of the protective spiritual atmosphere of Eretz Canaan, and now he would come under the tinus of Mitzrayim, and they would say, "Oh, we, you know, it says Geriyah Zarecha Ba'aretz Lolem Eretz Lolem. It's us, you know, we are the unidentified land." If you take a look at the Shem Mishmul, the Sukkot Shavu, he has a whole different approach as to why Yosef didn't reveal the sale to his father Yaakov, and he says that the tachlis of Yaakov was Midas of Yosef, excuse me, was Midas HaVitochon. And basically the attitude of Yosef was that if it was the will of God that this should be known to Yaakov, then Yaakov was the great Nevuah, the great Navi, God would certainly reveal this directly to Yaakov. If Kadosh Baruch Hu did not notify Yaakov about this tragic situation, then it must be that that's exactly the divine will, that God doesn't want Yaakov Avinu to know about the sale of Yosef. And Yosef has 100% emuna, bitachon, relying on the fact that if indeed it's the will of God that Yaakov should find out, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to do that. And that's why we see in the Sarah Mashkim case, because of Yosef's very special, outstanding midah bitachon, that's why he was held accountable as a sin for asking the Sarah bitachon to remember him to Paro. And finally, another explanation would be that if you take a look at the various periods of time since Yosef was separated from Yaakov and he was sold, the first period of time he was an Eved, and he certainly couldn't have done anything without the okay of his master. He then was thrown into the Beis HaSor in jail and certainly had no freedom of movement then. But what happens when he's elected to the position of Mishnah Lamelech? Could he have done something to notify his father? And the question is, would he need the blessing of the Malchus, of the kingship of Paro, to allow him to do so? For example, in everything that Yosef does in Mitzrayim, he always gets the okay, the Geshpanka, you know, the support from Paro. In fact, after Yaakov dies and Yosef wants to leave Mitzrayim to bury his father, he needs the permission of Paro. So therefore the question is, you know, how this would play itself out. Would Yosef be able to ask the king, in this case Paro, to give him permission to go down to Canaan and notify Yaakov? I don't know. And if he would reveal what had happened to him to his father Jacob, then this might be a case of humiliating your own brother, which is a terrible issue, just that we've never Kesef. In other words, as if to say, what pragmatic gain or benefit would he have from notifying Yaakov? Would Yaakov be able to do anything on his behalf, to be poed to him? And the answer is that Potiphar was not lacking in money, and if you offered him all the gold coins in the world, he wouldn't change his mind. He is the owner of this slave, and he wants him to remain in his possession as a slave. And finally, Hayachoshesh, what Yosef was afraid of is Shema Yanish Ovis Echov, as we indicated before, the anger and the vengeance of Yaakov would be pent out on the brothers. They would suffer, and who knows, maybe if they would suffer as a result in a row of Pnei Ashchina. So there were very good reasons, and we only saw some of them, as to why Yaakov did not reveal the truth to Yosef, excuse me, did not reveal the truth to his father, Yaakov. That's what I wanted to add as far as the Parsha is concerned, and specifically the Parshas of Miketz and Vayigash. And I want to wish everyone a wonderful second half of Chanukah as we move on to the second half of Chanukah.